This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
There are some who'd make me out to be the villain of this here story.
Let's don't let a good thing die.
Are you born with destiny? Or does it just come knocking at your door?
He's a young singer from Memphis, Tennessee. Give him a warm hayride welcome. Mr. Elvis Presley.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. If yesterday we talked about Obi-Wan Kenobi, Star Wars fandom, today is my personal Star Wars. Today I'm ready because we are talking about Elvis, which is a very loosely, I think we can call it a biopic, and it's directed by Baz Luhrmann, which you need to know, and starring Austin Butler, whom you're going to be hearing us talk about a lot in this review.
I have to declare my biases right from the start, I think. I'm a huge Elvis fan. I'm also actually a really big fan of Baz Luhrmann's works. So that's where I'm coming to this from. But having seen the trailer, I feel like I went back and forth. A part of me was really excited to have like this big budget Elvis biopic. But on the other hand, I also thought I'd check my expectations because I didn't think Baz Luhrmann was the right approach for something like this. After watching it, though, I've come out thinking that I'll just say it. I loved it. I have issues with it in a critical sense. But as a, like, my heart swelled and dropped and jumped while watching the movie, I loved it so much.
And broke.
Yeah.
And broke. So very much like Obi-Wan. It's like subjective, objective kind of thing. So very, very much like Obi-Wan. So I stayed away from all the trailers because they give away all the big scenes when it comes to biopics, even though you know what's going to happen. So I went in completely not knowing the vibe of the movie or the how weirdly aesthetic the movie was going to be. I loved it. It was like a shock to the system. Even the first 5 minutes when it opens, you're like, what eccentric energy is this? And what are they going for? And that eccentric energy never lets up. It's like beat after beat, breakneck speed, the colors, the music, the sound, everything about it. I don't know about the accuracy. I'm not so familiar with Elvis's story, but what the movie did was it was highly, highly entertaining and a good way to spend 2 hours plus.
Okay, so I've been slightly dreading this movie only because I feel like let's let Elvis be, you know. It's been that way for a while where from the first moment that the movie was discussed, that it was going to be happening, that Tom Hanks was going to be playing Colonel Tom Parker, I had a moment of thinking, I don't know, I really cannot brain how this is going to work out. And I emerged from it feeling like weirdly discombobulated. Like, I think it's like you've just exited a whole other world, right? That's the way that the movie is. It's so immersive. You come out of it and you're like, good God, let me get back into my car so I can listen to Elvis all the way home. But yeah, I have very complicated feelings about it, but I love it. I think that it did such an amazing job with kind of trying to depict Elvis's life, but also use it as a lens through which to tell a very particular story about fame, in some ways about America, which are all the things that Elvis has also come to represent. I think we have to say straight up, Austin Butler, crazy. Mm-hmm. Off the chain, incredible performance.
I mean, biopics live and die on the person that's being talked about or shown, right? And I honestly, watching Austin Butler perform as Elvis, sometimes it felt like you were watching a live performance by him. And I don't know, there's just this kind of magic that happens when he appears on screen right from the beginning, even to the later years where he's aging. The performance is amazing. I think it is worth saying that the story is being told through the lens of not Elvis himself, but Colonel Tom Parker, who was his manager, also
Svengali.
Yeah. I was going to say exploiter, snowman, as Swindler. He calls himself. Yeah. Played by Tom Hanks, very weirdly, but also very effectively. And I think that kind of gives us this really interesting way to look at Austin Butler's performance as well, because it's almost like you never quite can grasp the Elvis in this. He's forever the showman that's apart from you and distanced from you.
Because he's a character in someone else's story.
Yeah. Story, yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think when you can play a famous person and you can make the audience forget, or if I'm watching, make me forget that I'm watching an actor as famous person, then they've basically won. 15 minutes into the movie, I forgot that he was playing Elvis, and I completely believe that this is what Elvis looked like when he was younger. He was Elvis. He's so electrifying. Like, he captures that essence, because it's so easy to come off as silly, right, when you're doing Elvis impressions
because
and impersonations.
You've seen thousands of
so
impersonators.
Many. And he's so, so mega popular that if you went slightly wrong, or if the tone was off, or if you pulled it off in a wrong way, you could come off as a cartoon character or someone on SNL. But never once does he slip up. And I think, like, within an hour of the movie, you kind of forget the name Austin Butler in a way. Like, you know he's playing him, but you think you're watching Elvis on screen.
I mean, it's crazy. Everybody has an Elvis Presley impression. Yeah. Like, everybody has one in their back pocket. It's quite, he has these phrases. When you hear Austin Butler say, "Okay, mama," or thank you very much, which he actually says at a point in the movie, I thought, oh, you've really arrived. Because if you can say these Elvis-y lines, right, and still have us just sunk into the performance, I agree with everything that we've said. Like, electrifying, I think he also does it in a very human way. Mm. There's a vulnerability to his performance while also maintaining that weird character in someone else's story distance. It's really quite astonishing. And that also leads me then to Tom Hanks, because on the one hand, you have one of the world's most recognizable voices and accents. Like, everybody knows what Elvis sounds like. On the other hand, you have Tom Hanks, who nobody has ever heard do this. Like, I've never heard. have you guys heard another human being with this accent? I just have not heard it.
No, and I think the movie actually goes out of its way, and because it's Baz Luhrmann, I'm almost convinced that this is the case, of giving us a character that's almost impossible to like. You know, like grotesque and unlikable in every way, from the way he looks to the way he speaks to the way he moves. I mean, you don't even feel sorry for someone who is, you know, an unwell older person because of the physicality and the voice and the way Tom Hanks plays him. I didn't think I could ever dislike Tom Hanks on screen. This movie has done it.
No, but you can completely understand why he was a swindler, right? Like, the way he plays him. And I think that's
like
because
oily.
Yeah. But also, there are some moments of genuine emotion. And I think that's only because of a Tom Hanks. Like, he could put that out there. It's either the eyes or the way he speaks. Like, you can understand why people would get caught up in this guy's con or his trap. Like, why people would believe that he's telling the truth. Why Elvis would believe someone like this. It's because of that. It's those that humanness in him.
I feel like he believes he's telling the truth when he tells Elvis he loves him.
Like any true villain.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah.
Every time he touches Elvis, I flinch. Mm. You know, that's all it is. Because he reaches out to comfort him often. He reaches out to pick him up, to pull him back into whatever it is that he's wanting him to do at that moment in time. And every time he does it with his, my boy, you know, you flinch. And I think between the two performances, it's actually Tom Hanks's performance that's been getting more mixed reviews. People don't fully know how to, I think, reconcile or recognize what's going on here. And I do feel that way, but I also think it's very effective. In the context of the story that is trying to be told, I think it's, you know, it really works. Aesthetically, though, okay. Arvin, you mentioned the first 5 minutes. That, I think, might be my least favorite part of the film. And I'm not sure why. The best description I can give is, have you guys been on those 4D Motion Master rides?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where you're kind of swiveling and swinging around. And I'm just like, okay, so any circular thing will soon become a spinning record and then the moon. You know? And I think I appreciate it now as a crash course into the movie, but at the time I was like, what is happening? Is this the energy for 2 hours? I cannot do it.
But it's not, right? And I think that's to the movie's credit.
So I'm saying, yeah. Sit through the first 5-6 minutes and then you'll be okay.
Yeah, no, and I think that the heightened quality of the film actually weirdly is then contrasted by the way Baz Luhrmann shoots Elvis. Mm. Because funnily enough, a lot of those huge concert scenes, while you see the screaming women and the throwing of the intimates onto the stage, actually the camera is so close to Elvis. And that's where a lot of the vulnerability comes, right? You see every movement of his face and his body. It's almost like it's a very protective, intimate way of filming this huge star. And I really like that because the OTT-ness of the movie is not OTT-ness of Elvis. It's OTT-ness of telling that story, so the scale on which he operates. And again, that's why I think I've totally pulled back from thinking I don't want a Baz Luhrmann to tell the story, to perhaps thinking maybe he understands this aesthetic in the sense that the wild passions of what Elvis elicited in his fans. But then in contrast, how there was a person at the center of all of this.
Also, there is payoff for that kind of energy midway through the movie, which I love. So this is going to sound like so nerdy, but the camera thing that you mentioned. So it does this thing where it captures his movements. It captures the weird energy that he has, you know, just off the charts energy. And it builds suspense somewhere in the middle of the movie where you anticipate those same movements and that same energy to start playing because you want it to happen. And there's like a signature spinning or a signature not exactly focusing on anything. And you kind of want that to happen because it doesn't happen for a while without spoiling anything. Mm. And I love that. I just love those touches because you can sort of recognize the energy of this movie. If you just started watching it halfway through, or, you know, on the third act, you'd know exactly what movie this is. And you can't say that about a lot of other movies.
We're talking today about Baz Luhrmann's Elvis, which stars Austin Butler in the main role. It's got Tom Hanks as a frog in human form, essentially, as Colonel Tom Parker. And yeah, we all really loved it. Let us know. Have you seen it? Do you plan to? Are you a fan of Elvis? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place. If you're looking for trouble, just look right in my face. I was born standing up and talking back. My daddy was a green-eyed man.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Shangela, Arvin. Together, we are talking about Elvis. So we were just getting to the point about style in many ways. And I think that if you don't like Baz Luhrmann's style, this is not going to convert you. If you are accustomed to it or if you are... If you know how to embrace, I think, the everything, everywhere, all the time kind of quality that this film has, you'll be in good hands.
I think so. But I think that if you're a fan of Elvis and have never watched a Baz Luhrmann film, I don't think this will be a difficult entry point.
No, I agree with that.
I think if you really love Elvis, or even if you just love his music or recognize his music, there's so much here. Because watching this film, you suddenly realize how many of his songs are so intensely familiar. Even the opening bars, even the first line. And it's in that sense, actually, for all its sadness and tragic undertones, some scenes are just so much fun to watch. They're incredibly fun to watch. We've talked so much about Austin Butler, but the way he dances, for instance, and being able to see that on a big screen, it's just something.
And also only on the big screen. So I love that. I love that this is not a small screen movie. You cannot convert this for you can watch it on streaming and stuff. But the only way this movie works is if you see it in a good hall with good sound on the biggest screen that you can find, right? I love that. I love that, you know, the sound, the bass, every time you hear the guitars, it all works because you're in that setting. And I love movies that are made for cinemas in such an elitist way that you cannot enjoy them as much if you watch them on a smaller screen. thing.
Ironic, right? Because a main storyline in the film is a TV special. Yeah. And that's kind of part of the fun because firstly, it's got that inside baseball quality to it because you're behind the scenes on a production, which is always fun for, I think, people who nerd out over film and television. But the other thing is that live energy, we've used the word electric a lot, but I really think that's the best way to describe what you're witnessing when you see Elvis on stage. And I mean, while you can, I think cinema. This is really the way to go because you get all of that. You get the sound, you get the larger than life feel, you get that emotional punch. And that last part is the thing I wanted to talk about a bit because why is this movie so emotional? I don't fully understand how I'm being manipulated. I can't tell if my love for Elvis is kind of coloring the movie and the way I view the arc of his story. I don't know. I don't know if I'm being fair. I don't know if I can view it objectively. I just know that I felt very weirdly emotional while watching the film. Not weirdly, just emotional.
I think it's the combination of the performance, Austin Butler's performance, but also the way they tell us his story, right? Like from the start, he's painted as this boy who just loves music, you know, was always an outsider. Music was his way of finding a place to belong. It's the classic story. And with someone like Elvis, I think that part of it tends to get lost or is also the parts that are not necessarily as familiar as the later parts. And so when you go through that journey and then you have the villainous figure who's just like using this for his own means, I think that's it. By the 15th minute to half an hour mark, you're so invested in this boy's journey that you're there with him and you feel everything. The scene when his mother dies is for me hands down one of the most powerful in the whole film.
I mean,
when you talk about humanizing a character, like I can't think of it without actually feeling sort of like, oh my God, like I can't believe I watched that. It was a very difficult scene.
I lost it when his wife left him.
Yeah.
Was actually, I mean, I think that was the finest performance actually in terms of their relationship from the two of them. But there's a particular line, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a particular line he says to her as she's about to head out the door and I lost it.
I mean, it's also because everyone knows Elvis, right? And in some way or form. You might think you're not a fan of Elvis, but you are a fan of Elvis. Like if you listen to any sort of quote-unquote Western music or English music, you're a fan of Elvis. And I think the mentions of other artists that you, musicians that you recognize, you see him do certain dance moves. So if you're a fan of Michael Jackson, you see that thing trickle down. So it's just that knowing this celebrity without knowing this celebrity and seeing those parts of him. Also, like you mentioned, you know, it's become so common to parody the later parts of his life. He's such a Halloweenable figure that I love that the movie sort of focused on the parts that people tend to forget, the earlier years, to show that, you know, this guy was a phenomenon. Like, he is the biggest selling musician/artist of all time for
and
a reason.
Also, hugely countercultural, which, again,
hugely
in the later years
yeah.
got sort of chipped away a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But in the first half, really, the fact that his moves were, you know, from the devil and so on, the movie really leans into that.
It also makes you question whether or not you should be Halloweening the guy, you know, and
yes.
that, I think, is a very effective trick. So one of the issues that I have with the film is the retrofitting of 2022 politics, mostly because I think in a way Elvis was that kind of star. He famously, you know, always refused to talk about politics. He was one of those kinds of that ilk, right? Like of that kind of classic mold. And so because of that, it's easy therefore to retrofit because blank slate. But I don't know. Some of that made me uncomfortable, mostly because I wasn't sure it was necessary. And it also made it feel as if we were no longer talking about Elvis. We were just using Elvis as a cipher or a lens through which to talk about fame and Vegas and Britney Spears and the corrosive nature of all of it. And I don't know, maybe because the personal stuff worked so well, when we pulled back and said, no, actually, it's not even about Elvis, it's about this. Those parts were less effective or evocative for me.
It's difficult, right, to make a movie about a star in today's landscape whose music is so singular but also largely drawn from an underrepresented community, in this case, the African Americans. And so the movie kind of goes sort of almost in the opposite direction to kind of be like, but no, you know, he was friends with these black musicians. Mm-hmm. He did used to hang out at these bars. That photo with B.B. King that's so popular, it wasn't just a drop by. It was, they were friends. And a lot of this isn't really documented or, you know, sometimes downright not true. And I felt like it wasn't necessary. We know that he was a complicated figure. We also know he lived in a very different time. And it's fine. I think it would have even been fine if we straight up acknowledged that he cribbed his music from others. That's fine too. Because Elvis is so big that I don't think we need to necessarily make excuses.
Do you think that bigness is going to give this movie enough legs to win any Oscars? Because if Bohemian Rhapsody can get to the Oscars, then I think this movie deserves to be at the Oscars. Just for production value.
I think Austin Butler definitely does.
100%. Austin Butler, 100%. But if just for the production value of this movie, I think it's worthy of being in a Best Picture contendership. Again, because Bohemian Rhapsody was there. So why not?
So that, we're going to have a over-the-top supercut. And by that, I mean a supercut talking about over-the-topness tomorrow. And I don't know whether the over-the-topness of this film is going to help or hinder. Right? It's kind of hard to tell because when he did Great Gatsby, that's different. Everyone loves, an adaptation of a classic novel. There's prestige attached to that. Elvis, on the other hand, is popular culture. And so I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see. But Austin Butler, come on. I mean, I hope he gets nominated as someone who, we've talked about this. I'm not sure how much we all still care about the Oscars, but I still nevertheless want him to get nominated. And I would watch him in anything.
I think so too. I'm very excited to see what he's doing next because, you know, he's kind of not a fully known quantity at this point.
And he got hospitalized after shooting.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
like that's a guaranteed Oscar win. Like if you enter the hospital after playing anyone, then you're getting an Oscar. I also want to say that for anyone who's seen this, go listen to the album on Spotify, the enhanced version of the album. So it's got like snippets and remixes of the songs. It's so good. The weird remixing of the soundtrack is so, so good. Normally it'd be cringy if they did something like that. It works. It works so well.
Another Lermanism. It's everywhere, you guys. We've been talking today about Elvis, as always. The man, the myth, the movie in this case. Let us know. Have you seen it? Do you plan to? WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.